Coming up in this episode of the KitCast, the toothbrush gets smart, a cuff that's out to get smartwatches, and printing on the go. So sit back and relax. It's time for the KitCast. Hey everybody, it is time for another episode of the KitCast. I am KT Data, and joining me is a man who of many talents, so many talents that he is good both on camera and behind the camera, and also he has other talents which include balloon animal making is the one and only Drew Tyler. How are you doing today, Drew?
Oh, I'm so good. I love to listen to what you come up with to introduce me each week. But yes, I recently got a new bag of balloons, and so I've made bears and swans and ducks. So what I do,
and it's amazing, man. I'm just saying, like, what can you not do? What can you not do?
When you have three little girls, you do whatever the hell they want you to do.
I mean, like, you know, one day he's on TV, aired out talking about the Oculus Rift in it, and like inventing his own Oculus Rift of all things too. Then the next day he's recording two podcasts in a row.
That's
ridiculous. Today you've been recording like crazy. So
yeah,
and then I find out that you know how to make balloon animals and everything else. I'm like,
there's no end. There is no end.
I'm gonna have to I'm just waiting for you to start asking for fees, and I'll be like, I can't afford it.
I get you hooked for a year of Drew, and then it's a subscription base.
Yeah, so if you guys have never seen the KitCast before, what Drew and I do is we scour the interwebs for the coolest, the latest, the greatest crowdfunding projects. We bring them back, tell you a little bit about them, and tell you if it's worth backing, tracking, or sacking. But before we jump into that, let's jump into some news.
Yes, we always tell you what's important in the news side of the crowdfunding world. So we got a couple today.
Yeah, so this first one's really not a news item, I have to say. It is more a resource on there, because we always like finding different projects to talk right about and cover, or websites that do it. And KickTops is a website that they actually hand curate cool Kickstarter projects, and they feature them on their website. So essentially, it is the web version of our show right here.
Kind of is. I mean, they handpick a couple, and they even give their own feedback for, you know, what they're thinking. You know, trying to build, I think, obviously trying to be an aggregator and build a community around that. But it's nice. I like the way they kind of break it out, too, where it's like, here's what you've got to put into it to get your, you know, this project or whatever it is. So the money is attached to it right away.
And I love it because they have these different categories. So if you want to just find comics, you can just go into the comics section. If you just want to find tabletop games, going into the tabletop sections. They even have this last chance tab, which is awesome. So it reminds you.
Right.
About projects that are about to finish up, so you can jump on them. One of the greatest things is they have a tab for project creators, and it actually lists some excellent tools if you're a project creator. Some of these we've kind of actually mentioned before. BackerKit, KickTrack, I think we did before, and this Kickstarter status board.
Yep.
Chrome extension, we've mentioned that before. I love it, and you can just take a peek, and it gives you all these cool tools that you can find. Their blog even has information about how to create a project and different ideas on top of just featuring things. So I love it.
I think it's fantastic. I want to know, when are we going to find some of these aggregators and like KickTops? And we've done a couple of these. When are they going to come to us and be like, will you be the official podcast of our KickTops?
I don't know. Me too. Like, that, or I'll just have to revamp the site if our webmaster would get off the lazy butt and do it.
right, that'll work too.
Yeah. So like, I love it. It's a great place for people to kind of go find some resources and stuff. There's great tools, and it's great all around, and it helps do similar things that we like to do, because we only cover three projects. And I know sometimes people like want to hear more about projects. So
There's so many, especially when we're every other week at this point. There's so many other projects that are getting started, or some of them we look at and we find them, and just as they're ready to close and be, you know, to end their run. And it's like, man, would have loved to share that. Yeah. But
yeah, you know, it's just time. So that is KickTops. You can find that at kicktops.com. Here's a really big kind of discussion thing. So you've been hearing a lot about, have you heard about the Healby?
I did a little bit
campaign.
I heard, you know, of the big question marks surrounding.
Yeah. So me as a scientist, it sounds bunk. The information they produce looks bunk. It's not this next section that I'm talking about is not really about the Hilby. It's actually about this article that I found on Crowdfunder Insider, and it talks about what the media is missing the point on the crowdfunding on Indiegogo and Hilby. And the writer goes into detail on how should Indiegogo be holding funds in escrow, because Indiegogo has the flexible funding campaign. And what happens in the flexible funding campaign is that once you back it, the money goes straight to the creator. It's not held like in Kickstarter or anything until the end of the project. It just goes straight there. I think for the all or nothing funding, that gets held in PayPal's escrow or an escrow service they have on there, and then the creator doesn't get the money until after. But for flexible funding, it goes straight through. The one thing I kind of don't like is the one website that's covering the Hilby stuff is Pando Daily, that's doing a lot of, and it's a lot, the writing is a lot more attacking right there. And
right.
Part of me's going, okay, it's cool that you kind of uncovered that this may be this science might be bunk, but you attacking it, I don't know if that's helpful or enough. And I think that actually takes the responsibility too much off the person that's going to do the backing.
Due diligence. Yeah. We talked about that anytime that you're going to back something. Do your work and figure it out.
Does the science sound, you know, reasonable to you? And if you don't understand, should you really be back in this project anyways? If you're going to use it for some kind of application, you probably should find somebody who has a better grasp on this information and ask them first if it sounds like a good idea or not. I mean, because the Hilby stuff is kind of weird. It supposedly can tell you how much glucose is in your blood using some weird Hokum technology on there. Hey, I spent a good chunk of my college career on how to analyze blood, and of the stuff is Hokum on there. So I mean, like, there's probably somebody who's a doctor who's worked in the healthcare field or studied this kind of stuff that can tell you all to, you know, ask for a second opinion before you back it, because most of these projects aren't going to disappear the day after. I don't know. I just want to tell people, when you pick some of these things, have some due diligence and do some of your research first, and don't just, you know, fully accept everything you see on that page. I don't know. Am I just in a pipe dream world where
I think you've got it. I really think that there's a responsibility there on the crowd, whoever is, you know, making that choice to drop their money, that they do some due diligence. And then there have been some scam type things that we've even covered. Even that article mentions the Kobe beef one that was, again, never going to happen. It was just somebody coming out to run away with the money. That they're few and far between, but I think that the onus does fall to the crowd. It is crowdfunded, and at some level, the crowd needs to be the ones that does the research. Whether it's like Hilby, where you need to go figure out if that's even possible, or even just to be able to read through the comments, read through the updates, and follow that discussion that's happened around that item or that project, and figure out what other people are saying to see if there is any red flags being raised by somebody else, just to know, okay, I got to go look into this a little further because there are people questioning this. Because there's a lot of way cool things out there, but a lot of them are legitimate, like futuristic, wonderful, fun things that may actually, I mean, we got some of those in the show today. They're like, wow, this might actually happen. And as little as we know, we can go through it and say, yeah, that'll probably work. Where this one and a few others, like the Hilby, were kind of, there's a big question mark that they haven't answered. So I'm with you. It falls to the crowd to do their work first.
Yeah. Just be careful in your backing projects. All right. So this last news story is kind of a quickie, but it's for all you creators who, you know, put out a crowdfunding project and it kind of didn't pan out on there. So on this news article on Polygon,
It
mentions this game that was on Kickstarter. It was called Citizens of Earth, and it failed the Kickstarter project. It wanted to raise 100,000 Canadian dollars, whatever that is in US. They only ended up raising like 36,000 on there. So that's not that bad, but not anywhere close.
Just over a little bit of a third of what they wanted.
Yeah. So the video game publisher Atlas actually picked up this video, this title, and they'll be publishing it later on this year for all 3DS, PlayStation 4, Vita, PC, and Wii U. So, sometimes crowdfunding may be just a direct correlation where you're trying to get your money, trying to get all that kind of stuff. And there are other times it might just be a great PR move where right. you get your name exposed. I mean, because this was a indie studio right there, and I'm not sure anybody would have known who they were unless they kind of did something like this. So
make a little wave.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to make lemon out of lemonade on there. So there's make always the
lemon out of lemonade
or lemonade out of a lemon. Yeah.
Right. Because yeah. Right.
Something like, I don't know, I'm not good at these sayings. I don't know why I love to say them.
But it does give a little bit of hope to a lot of people that have had something that maybe didn't pan out. But, it, you know, you can still add that to your, like, backlog of, okay, this is what I've done to promote this. And just even being able to show a publisher that, hey, we had, you know, $36,000 worth of people. How hard is it going to be for us to get this out there? And they know they're going to net, you know, three times that. So... there's hope.
Yeah, and exactly. That was, I mean, if you even look at the Veronica Mars thing, because people are like, oh, why are they going back to the studios? Well, filming a movie like that's expensive, really expensive. But they would have never gotten a studio to greenlight it unless they said, hey, look at these people. They put down their cold, hard cash because they want to see this. Now, will you help us get the rest of it so we can make this happen for these people? And it's very promising. I mean, when you get people that were willing to donate, how much was it, like $3 million?
Yeah.
This movie studio is going to pay attention. they're like, oh, there's potential to make money here. Yeah,
which is weird because you think about it, in the heyday of film, there was no real gauge of audience devotion other than how much money gets put into each show. How many tickets are sold. And that's what they had, along with DVDs afterwards and some of those things. With the internet, you have a little bit an easier time, more data to be able to say, yes, that is supported by a fan base.
Yeah. So just have hope out there. All right, Drew. Let's jump into our projects right here. So our first project of the night. So
uno.
You have kids, so I think you may have had dealt with this before, but how many times have you said, all right, girls, it's time to go to bed. Go brush your teeth, and they come back like 2 seconds later.
Every night. In fact, with three of them, it's like juggling. I stand outside the door, and I like grab them by the head and turn them back around and be like, nope, that was long enough. Back you go. Whoa, little one, hold on. You're going again. Whoop. Yes, every night. We even had a timer for a while that was like 2-minute timer. You should be doing 2 minutes. And we finally hit for the middle one now. We had to say, okay, you say your ABCs twice. So you'll hear her in there going, and she says it as fast as she can.
Yeah.
But yes, this looks good. Tell us about the Calibri.
So the Calibri is actually even better on there. It's not just a timer. This is actually, I would say, a smart electric toothbrush. I know people are going to be like, don't put smart on everything. That's just lame. But it's
connected. Yeah. Right? That makes it smart.
Yeah. It's a Bluetooth-enabled electric toothbrush that keeps track of where you brushed in your mouth, which is insane. It has sensors to know where it is and how long you've brushed in these each individual areas, and then the app will report back and tell you the areas of your mouth you need to focus on a little bit more when you're brushing your teeth, because your girls probably, when they're brushing, they're just like one side or something.
Exactly.
And you're like, switch.
Yep. And after we had one of them have, even after, you know, we're talking about nightly brushing and flossing that we're letting them do, we had two cavities one visit, and I was like, all right, you get your 2 minutes. And I come in afterwards, or wife comes in afterwards, and we get our 2 minutes on your mouth. So yes, exactly.
So I love this idea because it's an electric toothbrush, so it does that fancy vibrating thingy that all of them do now.
Right.
On there.
Just on it.
Yeah, and what's cool is it does the wireless charging on there, so you just put it on the thing. You don't even have to do it, and it does the inductive charging on there, so you don't have to worry about cables or anything on there. And it's compatible with iOS 7 and Android 4.0 and above on there, and comes in four different colors. And what's even cooler about this is they're developing an API for the system so people can develop games and other things to interact with it. I mean, right now they have two games that's listed on their website right here. And as you're brushing your teeth, the character moves along. And this one's cool. This tells you when to brush left and right, so that way you can be sure to brush your entire teeth while you're playing this game. And I think is the coolest idea right there. And they're making it like available for everybody, and it just uses standard Bluetooth. So, and the tips are removable, replaceable and everything. So I think it's a great idea. Plus, how much do you think something like this would cost?
This is what I'm worried about. I have not looked at the levels specifically on this one. I would say that we are connected. You're over $100 as soon as you say connected. So yeah. I'm going to go with 150.
Okay. So right now they're starting at, they have an early bird for $99.
Okay.
Another white edition for 130, and then 150 for the color edition. Pink
color, which my girls would want.
Yeah, it sounds like it's expensive, but then you go look at the prices for like the Aura Brush and
Sonics,
stuff.
Yeah, well, not the Aura Brush, but the Sonic Oral-B.
Yeah, the Oral-B brushes. They're about like 200 bucks anyway. So it's like a no-brainer. If you're, why not get the one that has more stuff in it?
$250 for a duo pack. Man, I might be able to talk the wife into that. Okay, probably not, but I'm gonna try.
I mean, and they even have like a dentist, and this is the cool thing, the app, you can send this information to your dentist and they can give you feedback on it. Think about that. You don't have
Sweetheart, I've been watching you brush your teeth for the last 6 months and I wanted to call up and let you know. Wow.
Yeah, okay.
It makes sense, though, right? If you're connected and your dentist needs to know some information, he could point to that and be like, well, I've just gone through your charts and you should probably spend a little bit more time right here. Yeah.
You know, because in the long run, it's going to save you money anyways because you're not going to have to go get cavities filled and everything. Right? And I mean, they do this already with heart rate monitors and EEGs right there. You'll wear a Holter monitor for like 2 weeks. And then you'll send it back in to the company, or sometimes they have their Wi-Fi enabled, so they're automatically uploading. The doctor can pull it off right on their computer, and they can tell you, all right, I saw an event. Why can't we extend that idea to toothbrushes? I think it's a great idea. I mean, because cavities are, you can prevent most of them just by brushing properly. So I love it. More information on there. So, Drew,
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have to ask, is this a back track or sack for you?
Oh, this is a back for me. In fact, I was just thinking, wouldn't it be great when we get to the point where the toothbrush can like sense whether you have plaque still in your teeth or whether you have junk still, not just like where it's going, but like say, I'm pretty sure that's not straight porcelain or whatever,
you might want to floss a little bit more in that area and get it. Like I love it. Like these devices that are improving our health and helping it's such a great idea and gets me excited.
The best thing that ever improved my teeth health was getting married. Like, as soon as I got married, I stopped having cavities. I don't know how that happened. So my wife was just like, hey, did you brush tonight? And now it's a habit, you know. Yeah. But still, with kids, this would make it so much more fun.
They can totally play a game and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you end up getting this for kids, I might get it. And like, maybe we can find a developer that can do like a multiplayer app and I can like race your kids. Like, see who has the better score and stuff on there. I totally would do that.
That's awesome. That would be great. I'm totally backing it.
Yeah, it's a straight back from me, and that is the Colibri. And I
love that name, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's Colibri. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, everything's so great about it. All right. So, speaking of having, you know, smart things, you know, Drew and I, we both have the Pebble Watch on here.
Yes.
And did you see this when I posted it on our Facebook page?
Which one?
Our next project on here,
the Rufus.
Yeah. So,
I didn't see you post. I think I ran across it.
All right. So this possibly could be the evolution of our Pebble watches. So, take it away about the Rufus.
The cuff. Rufus. I think it's a ridiculous name. The Rufus cuff. He named it after his dog. But hey, if you love your dog, like I just don't see a connection. But as a product, the Rufus cuff, and I love that they call it a cuff and not a watch. It's more than a smartwatch. It's a wrist communicator. And so if you take a look at this thing, it is a full-on like wrist size. Look at that thing. It is a full-on wrist size watch / communicator that basically puts everything into a Pebble-style watch that I would ever hope to have. So as I look through this, I kind of got giddy because the one thing I wish the Pebble would do, I wish it would take calls. Like, I can answer a call, and I can hit the button and be like, oh, yeah, answer that. But then I've got to go find my phone and just be like, oh, sorry, I was on my watch. But if I could, like, click on it and talk to somebody, yes, Dick Tracy, but this, something about the size of this, I don't know. I'm torn. So I'm getting lost, too. Like, What did I miss? Like, it does everything that a smartphone would do, but it's still tethered to a phone in your pocket, so it doesn't have to have the the, you know, 3G or LTE or any of that. It just,
yeah, it has connected. Full Android on it, if I remember right.
Right, so it's all connected. It's Bluetooth, and you can check your emails. You can, you know, set alarms, do calculators. Has a front-facing camera for video calls. You can type things out on it. There's basically everything and anything you can do on your phone, you could do on this. Whereas the Pebble I found is a really nice extension of just visually being able to check my alerts, and I love that. I wonder how crazy I would get with the Rufus. Besides the fact that it probably looked dorky as you kind of start with it, you know. But I don't know. I really want to love it, and I do love it, but I'm afraid to say that I love it because it would make me even more dorky. Because I love it. Well, I love the look, I love the feel, and I would totally sport something like that and not even care a lick what anybody would say, because this thing would look like a massive, like...
It's a 3-inch screen on there, so...
Yeah, awesome, right?
Okay, so the biggest thing that I've realized after looking through a lot of these smartwatches, apparently I've become...
It's a cuff. It's a communicator.
Yeah, okay, these smart devices, wearable smart devices.
There you go.
I'll keep it broad. For a lot of these wearable things that I've realized after getting my Pebble is... battery life.
This thing would suck battery.
They don't list the battery life anywhere on here. Might be because they don't have a working prototype, but I can't imagine this lasting more than a day.
I don't know. I mean,
2 days if you're lucky.
I did see one thing in there where they basically said the broader, maybe it was in the video, the broader band of the whole thing, like the fact they have that kind of thicker band, was something there had to do with the bigger battery. Like they understood. I think they get it. They know they're going to need battery, but I wonder if they know how much battery they'll need.
Yeah, I'm just really skeptical on how much life. I mean, the Pebble, I get maybe 5 to 7 days of battery life on mine. Are you getting less than that?
Four.
So, but, you know, almost a week length on there. And sometimes I hate charging my Pebble because I forget. Or it's that dreaded time where you put on the Pebble in the day.
And at the beginning of the day, it goes...
Yeah. Or you look over and I'm like, oh crap, it's already dead because I forgot to charge it last night. I can see this happening a lot more with the Rufus cuff on there, it's running full Android and that takes some battery. I mean, how many of our phones last through the whole day anymore?
No, exactly. In fact, that is still I have very much a pain point there that
I mean because like this thing right here, I just barely charged it before the show,
and it's probably still
yeah.
on its way out. Same with mine. Like I can go through half a day, and I've gotten to the habit of anytime I come back to my office between classes, I plug my phone in just because I want to make it through the next night. You know,
But you can do that with your phone. But how are you going to do that with your watch? You take it off, and then you're going to forget it. That's my opinion, and I just it's too I'm big.
No, I don't know. I don't know about too big. I love the big. My favorite part
is it because you're getting older? Because I've realized this. The older people get, the more they enjoy the larger screens because you can see things better.
I think I'd like the real estate to just be able to do more. Like right now I get text messages and I can get just enough of a message to be like, okay, I know what that is and it's not related to what I need to do now and I can put it away. But to have a full, like be able to read the full message and email.
Are you ever going to be off your watch then is the question.
Yeah, that's why it's probably a bad idea because this is not a smart, it's not smart enough to like distract me for long. It's enough to like put the mental distraction out of my mind, right? So if I feel a buzz in my pocket at any point where I'm not supposed to be, you know, not supposed to be playing, where it's not proper to be playing on my phone, I just glance at my watch and go, okay, not important. But at the same time, that, you know, that gnawing, like, okay, was that buzz in my pocket, was that important? Do I need to get to that right away? I mean, granted, that's me being ridiculous, but I can just glance at my watch and get the same feel for like, oh no, I don't need to do that. Or yes, the wife needs me now. I love having a big one, except for I think I would get really distracted at like even stoplights. I'd be like, hey, I'm just going to play a little 248 here.
So like, that's the thing. It's like I can't see a lot of people wanting to wear these large ones.
I would do it though. I think I would do it.
I mean, could you ever see a girl wear one of these, especially if they're like tiny with their tiny toothpick arms? You know, imagine that. That's like you're gonna have
tiny
this giant
toothpick arms need not apply.
Yeah, you're gonna have like a giant anchor on there.
I like the idea that they had it like down the inside of when they wore it on the inside of the wrists, because that's an easier like vertical access. It's anyway, yeah. Girls,
because you know what this reminds still me sexy. Of is like still those sexy. Those football players when they have the plays that are on their wrist when they're playing.
Yeah,
and I'm like that
what's
is
wrong with that?
Just be so distracting for me. I don't know if I could do this.
I'm loving it. This is a back for me. This is, I mean, it, the idea, the fact that it's like pushing, you know, pushing the smart wearable tech. I'm really not minding that it's this big, honestly.
Yeah. And for me, I actually, this is a sack. I mean,
wow.
Like when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is such the greatest thing. But then I started researching, like, I don't know, the battery life might not be good. Since they're using a proprietary version of Android, what if Google releases another version and they take like 6 months to upgrade to the newest version and some of the app, my app stop working and all those crazy things. I mean, I love the idea on it. I just can't see this being mainstream. Like this yells beat me up or rob me when yes. you're wearing this because yes. it's this giant glowing screen on your arm.
Yes, you're there. Probably
like,
right.
Like I mean, I like the idea and like kudos for these guys trying, but I don't think we're quite there yet.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. It does screen beat me up, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they're a little over halfway to their goal with a little under 2 weeks to go. It's fixed funding, Indiegogo, so they've got to fixed funding means they've got to hit their goal
yeah.
or nothing. I kind of would like to see it come to fruition. I've seen some really big smart watches, like in my yeah. days at CES. I've seen some larger ones, and they felt clunky.
Yeah, and how like, many people wear those out in right. public anymore? Right. I mean, you barely see people wearing Pebbles, and they think that's too big.
And I don't mind the Pebble because it's the right size. This one, I just, you know, I'd like to try it out for a day or two.
Yeah.
So I want to see it happen. You're right. I don't think it's going to be adopted very far and wide.
Yeah, my bet is once the Motorola watch comes out, that they've been talking about and they have that customized version of Android, this might actually be a better avenue for these guys to go. And we'll probably see more crowdfunding projects for watches like that after.
I can see that.
But yeah, I just can't recommend this one quite yet. Just a little too early. All right.
Amen. All right.
So speaking of large cuffs and everything and being mobile on there, you've probably heard this from your students before, and it's, you know, you have this giant paper due, and your student just comes running, Drew, where do I need to print this thesis or essay that I got to turn in like 5 seconds. Do you know where I can go find a printer and something?
Yes.
As a student, I've had a couple of those before.
Yes.
Where like the library runs out of paper or something and just panic.
No time.
Yeah. So the Zuda pocket printer is attempting to change this problem because it is a... What it does is it takes the printer and then rips the printer down to its bare bases to make it portable on there. And so you see it's actually this little robot thingy, this teardrop shape thing. And they
it's
made
a
it
beautiful
they,
thing.
Yeah,
it's a thing
they purposely made it teardrop shape. So where this point area right here is how you align it to the piece of paper. And that's how you can make sure the printer is perfectly aligned. So what it does is it has little wheels on it, and it will just glide across the paper and print.
Like a Roomba.
As it goes along. Yeah, it's essentially a Roomba over there.
Oh, Roomba had sex with a printer, and you have little baby printer bots. And it's beautiful. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, and let's see. It's about 10 centimeters high and 11 centimeters in diameter. So it's portable. It's hand size. You can hold it in your hand.
I would totally throw this in a bag for gigs, for events. I mean, there's tons of times when I would love to just print out information, show notes, or anything else at a con. I mean, there's a lot of things I would do with this.
Yeah, it can print about 1.2 pages per minute and run for about an hour on a charge.
It's
not a speedy thing, but you're trading the convenience of being able to print anywhere you want.
And I don't see anybody doing, 80-page thesis on me.
If you have an 80-page thesis and you need to print in the next 5 minutes, you're planning very, very wrong. Very wrong.
We'd be surprised at how many students probably would still fall in that category. I love it.
Yeah, and it's compatible with Android, iOS, Windows, and OS 10. It uses Bluetooth on there, and I've discovered that it uses this protocol called Bluetooth BPP, which is Basic Print Profile. Mm-hmm. A lot of you guys probably have heard of A2DP, which is the audio transfer mechanism. BPP essentially is the printer equivalent of that. And I didn't even know it existed, but that's what they use, and that's why it's compatible with almost everything, since it's part of the Bluetooth stack.
Wow.
On there.
I'm really into this.
Yeah, I love it. And you know, when and it, this is the kicker right here. So do you think this thing uses a specialized ink cartridges?
Wouldn't it have to?
Nope. It uses off-the-shelf HP printer cartridges. So you could go to a store anywhere, pop up in the bottom where the ink cartridges is, pop in a brand new one if you ever run out.
Really? If it's in that little size?
Yeah. And, you know, they designed it purposely makes to sense. Be able to do that. So you can
probably makes sense.
Go get new ink cartridges, so you don't have to carry ink cartridges around. Yeah, and LaserNorm asks if it's single color. Yeah, right now it is only monochrome.
You'd have to have a much larger one to throw anything else in.
Yeah, and I think later on they're going to develop a color one, if I remember right, on there. But they're working on, this is definitely a version one, but I love it on there.
I do love it.
Let's see, what colors? Yeah, so yeah, they plan on having a full color printer in the future, so... This is part of helping Kickstarter. So if you don't want the monochrome one, still go back them $5 or something. Way they can get this one out. And if this one's a commercial success, they can go create a color one, and then you can have your color one right there. So I love it. And you know that's the only two things that I'm worried about is it being slow and it's only monochrome. But those are things that they can fix. They can optimize, make it even better. I mean They purposely have the wheels set out so it doesn't jigger too much, so you can get a great print color that doesn't blotch.
Right, Or doesn't, like, spin the paper out from underneath it.
Yeah, and they weight it perfectly so the actual device holds the piece of paper down while it's printing. And what's nice about this is you're not limited by the normal 8x11 printer page. You can
whatever
print
you tell
how big... Yeah, you just set it and say, okay, this is how big my sheet of paper is. Go at it.
This is amazing. And, I'm not even afraid or worried that it's not color or it's, you know, the monochrome. This is such a... printers have been around for a long time doing the exact same thing and being very big at it. And they even got bigger. You know, it's like, hey, let's throw a scanner in. Let's throw a fax machine in, right? This is amazing for them to just be like, you know what? Time to take that printer on the road.
Because everybody's on the road most of the time. So I think it's a great idea. So
what's it running price-wise to get one?
Price-wise, it is running...
More than a toothbrush?
$200 right now for an early bird white printer. And
there's only 500 of those left.
Yeah, 200 for a black one and 220 for a white titanium one that's not early bird. There's a $300 special edition Kickstarter one, and they had to put the word special edition to it.
Yes, because I know what that does to you.
Yeah, it's me all. All sorts
has a letter K with glowing green light on top, only available to early donors. Yes. I see, down there in that image on that graphic, that is actually really kind of sexy.
Yeah, and think about it. You don't have, you can, printing envelopes on this thing would be a breeze, because that's one of the things, printing labels and printing envelopes in a printer, I just hate it, because the one at work, I have to go up there, open the tray, take out the paper, resize the tray, put in the label, walk all the way back to my desk, print it, and then come back, reset everything so everybody else can print their stuff after. It's kind of like...
So they got 3 weeks to go, and they only need another $30,000. That's like a 10% of their... They're 90% of the way there. This is amazing. I really love what they're doing. And the fact that they're proving that it's possible, somebody else is... going to try and, you know, keep chasing this. These guys look like they're going down the right path, though. I feel good.
I love it. Like, I'd love to keep this in the bag somewhere.
Yeah.
Usually when I need to print something, it's something quick. So I'm like, all right, go at it, little buggy.
Wow, I love it.
So yeah, it's a bag for me.
I mean, there's some good projects that we covered, but this one is just like, this is life changing. I want to be a part of this. Okay, it's a bag for me.
Yeah. All right. Unfortunately, though, what that means, it's the end of the episode, Drew. We've gone through.
I could talk more about this thing if we want to go longer.
I know. I mean, that's what we should do, is record an extra episode where we just talk about this printer for another hour.
Just gush.
Like, oh.
I do. I want to touch it. I want to play with it. Delivery is like January of next year.
Yeah.
And so
they put enough time for it to get this R&D down, because they already have a big model, and now they want to shrink it down. Even more.
Toothbrush printer, kids me. It's hard.
It's Yeah, it's such a tough decision. So if you guys want to send in some projects, please shoot us an email, kickcast@ktdata.net. on there, we got actually a few that didn't make it into the show, so big shout out to Brian Miller and big shout out to the Echo Fee guys on there. Thank you for sending them in. Those were actually two other great printers, great items on there. I mean,
projects. Yeah,
one was like a mini printer that was like $300 or something.
It was a mini 3D printer that was like made for, and that one still got a little bit of time left on the campaign, I think. But it was really small, and they showed some really good example use cases for small household prints with like the micro idea instead of buying big spools. I thought that was really cool. And then what was the Ecofee?
The Ecofee coffee is making sure they make environmentally friendly coffee, and I like coffee, and it looks like their coffee blends taste really good.
And they were, I think they only have like a day left.
Yeah, they have less than a day or two left. So if you guys
by the time this gets out,
might be a little late. So that's why we didn't.
But they're so close. I think they'll make it. That'll be definitely worth following.
Yeah. Or if you guys have feedback in general, I love hearing from you guys. Every time I get feedback from somebody, it floors me that there are people out there listening to this show. Like, I am not even like it. I'm like, hey. So. Keep those on coming. I love it on there. Of course, if email's not the thing, you can always do the Facebook thing on there. So you can like us on there. Or you can...
Here come the pillows.
Yeah. Or you can follow us on Twitter, @night20, @KTData, or @KitCast.
We'll be there.
That's when you'll know everything's going live. And if you're listening to any of this post-processed on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever, please hit the subscribe button. Those numbers are always helpful. And that way... You know, if you do this, you never have to worry about, oh, did I get the latest episode or not? It just shows up for you perfectly. Da-da-da. On there. Drew, thank you so much. I love it, you know, every time. And I always wonder where the time goes.
I know, it's so fast.
Thank you so much for coming by. Giant box of nerds and Laffy Taffys on there. I love it.
I just didn't have a pillow, so I had to grab something.
Yeah. Make sure you guys check out Drew's other projects. One should I plug, man? Let's working say, the, on tons of
the
things.
The yo-yoing, the balloon tying. No. I don't know. Little Big Cast was a lot of fun today. We do all things PlayStation. Me and a couple of friends talk about anything in the PlayStation world, PS4, PS3, PS Vita, talk about new releases. Today we did an entire rundown of Walking Dead. Yeah, it's an older game, but we do kind of an indie game every week. And it was kind of fun to tell them that I really hate zombies, and I didn't like it at all. I didn't like the game. But it's a great podcast, so if you like anything PlayStation, just to find out new things about games or get our opinions on them, at Little Big Cast with a K.
Yeah, and you guys should check it out. I mean, I'm a fan. I don't think they believe me, but I listen to every single episode they make, and I love listening to it.
You were there live when we taped today. It was pretty funny to have you live and with us.
Yeah, so I love it. So make sure you guys check that out, littlebigcast.com. And our next episode will be in 2 weeks. Somebody asked why we don't do this weekly, and it's straight up, Drew and I just don't have time.
you do your Kita. Yeah. I barely get up here for this. But, yeah, you know, if we did a Kickstarter... With the right amount of funds, you and I could make this happen more
make
than
it a, yeah, make yeah, it make it a it. Weekly show. So our next episode's April 29th, 2014. You can come watch live in the chat room and talk to us and see all the craziness that happens before and after the show. That is at live.kickcast.net. If you missed any of the projects, kickcast.net, all the show notes are there. Other than that, guys, I will see you in 2 weeks, and remember to poop, because everybody else doesn't. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.